Thank you, Candace. And thank you, whoever the DJ was, for putting on the strobe lights. I don't know if you guys thought the same thing, but Carrie was up here and she goes, yes, they turn on the strobes. Oh, yeah.
That's like
yeah.
What it looks like. I was like.
It did look like it was on time with the music, too. I was like, wow, this is really quality. Brian, oh.
Technology. So tricky. Man, we're just setting this place on fire. I love that. You know? I'm over there praying. I'm like, there is some paparazzi up in Jubilee Church. What is going on? Okay. We're going to start off in prayer, but I'm going to take you through Ephesians 1:3. Then we're going to get into Galatians 5:1, and then Ephesians 1:17. So Sam, if you're back there, you could pull up Ephesians 1:3 and just track with me because we'll probably go through 11. But first, I just wanted to tell you guys something that God was putting on my heart right in the middle of prayer. Interestingly enough, he kind of knows the personalities, right? He knows all of us, and he knows what our strengths are and our weaknesses are, and he knows that I love to prepare. I'm very much one of those people. I like to have things prepared. So I just kind of gotten used to the fact that he's going to, you know, humor me and let me do that, but I'm always ready for the last minute when he's like, okay, here are the extra 35 things, erase that, and here's what you're going to say instead. So I just come to realize that he does not allow me to do what I like to do. What a big surprise, right? But this is what God was speaking to me just now while I was praying. He was saying, push the walls out.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's interesting because he kind of gave me this picture of all of us standing here and pushing the walls of Jubilee Church to all the ends of the earth. And he just kept saying, push the walls out, push the walls out. And what he was ministering to me was, number one, enlarge your tents. Break free. Push out the limitations of the boxes that we're in. But then also he was saying, what we've developed here, this just personal authenticity and just sold out for Jesus Christ, extend our reach. Right? Push the walls out of Jubilee Church. Okay, let's begin in prayer. In Ephesians 1:3. Father God, we just bless you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God, we declare and we believe that you chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We believe in verse 5 that you've predestined us to adoption as sons according to the gospel, the good pleasure of his will. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which you made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, God, we believe that we have redemption through your son's blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of your grace, that you made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In verse 9, that you have made known to us the mystery of your will. Father God, we thank you that you've made known to us the mystery of your will this morning, according to your good pleasure in which you purposed in yourself. And lastly, verse 11, we declare, God, and believe that we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of you who work all things according to the counsel of your will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, of your glory, God. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, I have three F's for you this morning. Three F's, okay? The Lord is ministering to me about freedom and free fall and faith. Okay, freedom, free fall, and faith. The Lord was just really impressing on my heart Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. Wait for it. Are we all hungry for God this morning? Did anyone come hungry for the Lord? Did anyone come desperate for God this morning? Yeah? Did anyone come hungry for hunger? One thing I love about God and about just being in the kingdom is that we don't always have to be in the exact right space, in the exact right place, the exact right everything, because we could just ask God to cause us. To cause us, to make us desperate, to make us more hungry. Even when things are shifty and we have trouble finding our place. Okay? We could say, Lord, I want to be more hungry for you. And I feel like when I was in prayer these last couple of weeks and just excited to minister with Pastor Petey today, I would just get in his presence and I just would feel like you're floating with him while he's just downloading and ministering to you, right? And I was like, man, Lord, this is just so precious that we have such a freedom in your presence. And the freedom is that we don't have to be in any particular place because we just trust and believe and know that all things are working for his good pleasure, for the advancement of the kingdom. So it's so beautiful because we just get to jump in, just dip in and be fully submerged. No matter what we're going through, we get to just jump in and be like, I don't know. I always find myself at a loss for words because it's so beautiful. It's so intimate. It's so heavenly. Okay? So he says, let's see. He says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. There is nothing that can take away that freedom. Are we just so free in God? We're so free. We're light as a feather, no matter what we're encountering. He asked me to just declare. Okay, part of that freedom is that we just get to declare the word of God over our lives. We get to just say, I am free. I am strengthened. Right? I am bold. I am courageous. I am fully equipped with everything that I need to walk out your will today, Lord. Because we're so free. So when I dipped into God's spirit, just in prayer for today, and I was just saying, Lord, this is so precious. It's so freeing that we can, this is just our element. It's our element to be in that place, whether we're dealing with something challenging or something great is going on, that we just get to jump in and be covered with oil in his presence. And then the Lord said, free fall. Free fall. I don't know what imagery that triggers for you, but for me, it speaks to just jumping and falling. Jumping and falling in. We're so free, we could essentially just jump and trust that he knows exactly where we're going, where we're landing. We don't need to feel like we have this beneath us. that we're comfortable, that we're stable, that we're secure. Nah, he spoke to me the freedom in free fall. Just jumping in and letting loose. Not needing the comfort or the answer or the plan. Or the step-by-step how he's going to make that word come to pass next week. Or how we're going to look at our calendar and say, we were expecting that thing. Here's how it's going to happen. Oh, it's 5 minutes too late. It's 2 weeks too late. He was just showing me this image of free fall, just jumping and trusting. So freedom was the first F. Free fall was the second F. And then he said, to have that type of freedom, to be able to have that type of free fall, it comes back to something so simple. And that's faith. It's so cool that we don't have to know exactly what's going on, know where we are, know how to penetrate through all these feelings that we're feeling and the thing that our friend is going through, whatever it is, because we just trust and know that he is God. And then it comes back to, there's just a freedom in that. Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17. Do we know, do we have faith that he's given to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, even when it doesn't feel like it? Do we know and believe in our weakest moment that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened? When we feel like we have no clarity and no vision, are we able to just free fall and know that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened? Despite the darkness that I perceive around me, despite the attack, despite what's going on, despite what's feeling so tense, do we know the hope of his calling? Do we know that we hold within us a revelation of the riches of his glory? Do we know that we are clear in our inheritance despite what it seems? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Ephesians 1:20. Are we clear when we're free-falling that it's the same power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places? Every morning, when we need to refresh and renew our mind, when we declare that we have the mind of Christ, are we clear that we're holding our place and it doesn't matter what it looks like? If we're trembling, if we're weak in the knees, it doesn't matter because we are free. We're free falling and we have faith that far above, this is verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, that he's put all things under my feet. I don't care what it looks like. So the Lord is really ministering to me those three F's: freedom, free fall, and faith. And then he took me to one more thing, and then I'm going to pass it off to Pastor Petey. He said, how many of us are dealing with the same process of just standing and believing for somebody else? Okay? He wanted me to mention this morning that there are people in this room, there are people listening online who needed to hear this morning that yes, he's called you to intercede and to pray for someone else to receive sight. Remember Saul? You think your loved one can't experience the same free fall, the same freedom, the same faith? How bound was Saul? See, we're here this morning talking about the renewing and the refreshing of our minds. But we can believe that for our loved one. It's the same faith that says, Lord, you've called me to intercede. Sorry, I make it hard for the camera guy. I know I have a hard time staying in one spot. You've called me to intercede. And I expect for the scales to fall off their eyes. Okay? I expect you've called me to intercede for them, to pray for recovery of sight, for their eyes to be opened so they could experience your freedom and free fall and faith. So, Father God, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to fellowship this morning, Lord. We believe that no matter what, your word does not return void. Father God, we praise you and we cherish you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn it over to you, love.
For me, I feel like this is the beginning of a conference. And I don't know if you guys, for everybody who's been to a conference, would understand, like, you walk in with some sort of expectation, but it's this refresh, this newness that there's this excitement that's building in you as an individual, and you walk in and you sit down with other people who have been building this excitement in them. And you sit down, at least this is me. I sit down not even wanting to sit down. There's an energy that's been building up that I sit down like, okay, let's go. What are we doing? Let's go. I'm ready. Because when you go to a conference, there's such an expectation that you want to change your life and you show up in the right place at the right time with the right God who will change your life. So I've been building because we just had a conference. The youth just had a conference in the back. What was that, 2 weeks ago? And this week that just passed, we just did kindergarten through fifth grade, did a dance workshop where we served, Beast Mode served at the dance workshop, and we were able to invest. And so that was this week, and the week before that was our conference, and the week before that was kindergarten through fifth vacation Bible school, where we were able to invest into the K through fifth. And I just feel like we're moving from glory to glory. But the scripture that talks about moving from glory to glory, sorry, Noel uses a paper Bible, but I'm not good with paper, so. The scripture is 2 Corinthians 3, and we'll start just at 17, and it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Liberty, we're talking about, like, that freedom. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." So when we remove the veil from our face, what we get is a reflection of Jesus. The image is not our image anymore. We reveal Jesus Christ when we can remove the veil from our face. The glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I feel like every time we move into an opportunity to worship and an opportunity to serve, not in our own strength, I think our identities, our individual personal identities sometimes are that veil. And we're so focused on being us. And when we can remove us, what we're left with is the glory of Jesus Christ. There's a move that I feel because there's this fire. There's a fire, so much so that a fire alarm has to go off. And it's not even, to me, an interruption. To me, this is a confirmation. This is a declaration of who we are. Fire alarm goes up. I'm like, yes. Lights are going off. I'm like, that's true. I receive that. This feels to me like the beginning of a conference, because in the conversation I had with Pastor Steve that led to this weekend, we were having this conversation about the excitement, the thing that wells up in you. And what I went to Pastor Steve with, I said, why can't we have that thing that happens at a conference? Why can't we do that on a Sunday morning? And my explanation, I go, sometimes you just build and build and build within you, and you're just in prayer and you're moving somewhere with God, and you feel like, is no one else getting this? I feel like ripping a hole in the spiritual atmosphere and just letting the separation between the natural and the spirit just pour out, so that there's no way that people cannot experience what the Holy Spirit is doing. So when I went to Pastor Steve, what I wanted is an explanation on how to do that. You know, like, how do I just rip the separation so there's no way that anyone cannot experience the Holy Spirit? And so he gathers all his experience and wisdom, and he says, you can't. I'm like, oh man, that's not what I wanted you to say. I wanted you to tell me the secret on how to affect the room in such a way where you can't help it. And he's just explaining, like, everybody shows up with a different expectation to church or to work or to the grocery store or home. Wherever you're going, you show up with a different expectation. If your expectation is to meet God, you will meet God. Not at church, everywhere. If that's what you expect, if you go seeking God, what does the scripture say? Seek and you will find. It doesn't say seek at church. It says seek. It doesn't say seek on Sunday. Seek and you will find. So this for me is like, oh, okay, to me, this is the conference. This is a mini conference where we go, we're going to do the 9 a.m. service, and then we're going to build because it's going to go somewhere else, the 11 o'clock service. And then Wednesday, my expectation is for us to build progressively together. As hard as it is, if you build on your own, not that it doesn't matter, yes, you'll get into heaven. Yes, you have an awesome individual, personal relationship with God. But most of that purpose, you know, when the examples like John the Baptist, who was completely isolated, and it's just him and God. Until God goes, yes, now you're full enough to go pour out. Oh, but I thought it was just me and you. Like, we have such a great relationship. We do. And I poured into you, and you can keep some of it, but go give it all out. This is not even about just you. When he spent 40 days with Moses, we enter into the Spirit, like, sometimes for, like, hours. And it's not to diminish, to put down the hours that you spend in the presence of God. That's incredible. He's in the presence of God for 40 days. He comes back glowing. glowing. Not with rosy cheeks or like there's a little perspiration. No. Like, cover your face, Moses. You're too bright. For 40 days. You know what God wants them to do? Now go lead the rest of them. It's not even about, even though it is about our individual relationship with God, it's not. If you build up for you, that's just like part one. I mean, it's awesome. It's an awesome thing. But God is going, there's so much more. So we've been talking about, I know it's 10 o'clock already, and you guys should be preparing in your hearts to pray for the nations, to pour out to as many people as you can. So we've been talking about a little bit about worship and service in even in the conference, and there's a level that you come to with worship. You have a lifestyle of worship, and you grow, and you're growing. And then there's some sort of cap that happens. And you go, well, what else is there? I mean, I dance, and I cry, and I laugh, and I have such joy, and I pass my sorrow on to him, and all of this. And then how do I move forward? Some of that is through service. It's almost like explaining, you can complete level one, and you're like, how do I get to level two worship? There is no level two worship. There's level two service, and then there's level three worship. Does that make, I'm giving you just an illustration, but it goes hand in hand. Worship leads to service, leads to worship, leads to service, leads to worship, leads to... And service is not like... It's not toiling. It's investing. Service is investing. And if we are not investing into each other, what are we doing? In our conference last week, I saw something happen that I really hadn't experienced like this before. I saw group worship. It was different than other worship and other prayer. It was just different. I've seen worship. I see worship all of the time, and it's almost always we as individuals are all worshiping together in the same room. And it's fire. But what I saw last week was that we as individuals were not worshiping like this. We were like this, worshiping together toward God. It wasn't at the same time toward God. It was together toward God. That was a different worship where we had a guest speaker come out, and after he poured out the word about renewing your mind, and just an incredible word, awesome illustration, examples, and everything that really grabbed everyone's attention. After that, I'm just praying, and I feel God says, pray for him. Like, guys, I feel like we're supposed to pray for him. And we just start praying in a way that was not, it was just more. It was like, how can I pull, what else do I have? There's more in there for you. There's more for you. And people are just pulling out of their spirit to go, there's more, there's more, there's more. And to invest into him. And he just starts crying, and he explains, like, you have no idea how often, because he travels around the world all year and invests. And he goes, you have no idea how hard it is to do what I do, to fill myself up and go pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out. And there's normally not an expectation. He goes, I don't go with an expectation to receive, because normally the people that I'm pouring out into don't even have anything to give. So to come into this place where I go, oh my gosh, I poured out everything that I have, and then before I even leave, I'm invested back into. It cuts away the idea that we have, the church idea that we have, where a speaker comes and invests into us, and we take it with us, and we go, that's awesome. Let me go change my life for this week, or this month, or this year, or whatever. You keep it for the rest of your life. That's great. It changes the idea that we go, oh, we're coming with an expectation to receive something from someone, and it moves to this expectation where I'm going to receive and enter into the presence of God. If you've ever shared the gospel with anyone, it doesn't even have to be on a stage or a podium, it could just be a conversation over coffee or whatever. If you've ever done that, a lot of the times you go to invest into someone and you're invested into. I'm like, wait a minute. I was supposed to bless you. What just happened? When we took the teenagers to go make lunches and give lunches out to the homeless. And this was, what, a month ago, 2 months ago. And we take the lunches, and we made with everybody, what, 1,500, 3,000 lunches? I don't know. It was a lot of lunches. And then we go with bags. And Beast Mode gave out about 120 lunches. And before you can even, they know why you're there. Before you can even hand it off, people are already walking up and they're going, can I get two waters? Can I have, oh, my friend is over there. Can he just have an apple? And then you're going, yeah, sure. And they go, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. And I'm like, no, God bless you first. You know, like, well, I was supposed to do that. You know, I showed up with an expectation. I'm going to go with my Christianity and I'm going to bless you with it. And I show up, and you're going, you're declaring God's blessing over me. And I'm like, wait, well, thank you. What just happened? Because it ripped away the expectation. You go, oh, I thought I was going to do something. I thought I was going to build people up. This is what a community does. This is what a body does. Amen. The purpose of it is not like, it's almost not even directional. It just flows back and forth. The excitement that I have for what's coming for the nation's prayer and what's coming for the 11 o'clock service and what's coming for Wednesday, the excitement that I have is the word that God gave me is releasing the refreshing of God. Amen. Because some people need a refreshing. Raise your hand if you need a refreshing from God. If you need to raise two hands, just go do what you need to do. We need that refreshing. And you know, most of the time, refreshing comes from other people. Very rarely does God just show up. Does he manifest in a bush? Very rarely does he manifest in the mouth of a donkey. I'm not saying it can't happen. Most of the time, he sends a Moses or a Saul or some person that you're like, that's the scripture Noel was saying. When the Lord says, Ananias, I want you to go pray. Are you sure? God, I was just praying to you and it sounded like you said Saul, so I'm gonna just double check. Are you sure? Saul and Ananias had nothing in common, nothing to say, oh, yeah, we're so friendly. Let's just hold hands and walk through the mall. That was not their relationship. They were not interested in being with each other. And sometimes God will send somebody. You're like, well, I don't really want to. I wasn't planning on receiving from that person. Give me somebody else, God. Hold on, that was a bad roll. Let's go again. Wow, two for two, huh? Best out of five, God, best out of five. And you can sit there with him and go, best out of 964, Lord. Well, what are you going to do? Dang, the same guy. You keep sending me. We go, man, I need to change my expectation. I'm ready to show up and receive. So the next service is going to be a little messier. So in some of that, I might call on some of the youth, because as they get word from God, some of them might take over the mic. Cool. Some of them might whisper in my ear and go, I got a word for this person. And I go, awesome. Go pray for them. Some of you guys need impartation. Some of you need declaration. Some of you know the word of God, but have stopped declaring over yourself because it's too hard to stand because of other things that have happened. So as the youth comes out to stand for you and to declare for you, it's going to be beautiful to receive. And if you want God, like you say, I want a refreshing, when God shows up in the voice of a teenager, you don't really care if it's like, oh my gosh, like the Lord was like so showing me like a word, LOL, like OMG, OM God. You'll weed through that. I don't like the way they talk. Oh, okay, well, you want God or not? I'm excited because it'll get messy. Wednesday's gonna get messier. I just know how it goes. I'm just telling you that I'm expectant of Jesus Christ to enter into the room, of the Holy Spirit to change the atmosphere. And if you show up with expectation, you will meet God. If you're saying, God, release your refreshing, he will. That's the step out in faith. That's the free fall, because you don't get to go, well, how are you going to do it, God? Just show up with expectation. Let's pray. Worship team, or whoever's going to lead worship through nations, if you can just come up. Rock, paper, scissors. That's fine. Yeah. Our youth is what we're doing is serving in all ministries. So you saw some greeters. There were some ushers. There's youth in the back working media. And so we're trying to take over in as many areas as possible and invest in as many areas as possible. Father, we lift you up. We want to bring glory to your name through our thoughts and our hearts and our actions, Lord. We want to give you us, God. Lord, we just give you our wills, our desires, the direction that we are going in, Lord. We give you those wills, God, and we say, we want your will. We want your desire. We want your direction, Lord. And we come to you not in selfishness, Lord God. Because you give more than enough. You bless even when we don't ask for a blessing, Lord. You invest into us in ways that we don't understand, Lord. God, I just ask that we are growing right now, that you begin knitting us together closer and closer and closer, Lord God. The way the Acts Church, you say they were all in one accord, Lord God. We want to be all in one accord, Lord. That the group prayer is the same prayer, Lord God. that we're not chasing after you as individuals, that we are chasing after you as a body. Increase us, Lord. Stretch out our tent poles. You prepare a way to fill our needs, Lord God. Remind us of how beautiful and awesome you are. Remind us of the way you love us, Lord. We just come to you with expectation that your Holy Spirit falls upon us, that your Holy Spirit grabs us, enwraps us, that you never let go of us, Lord. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.